The witness's call echoes in my heart, urging me to heed God's plan for salvation. It's a call that can't be brushed aside, demanding my attention and stirring a fire within me. I feel a surge of determination to be a vessel of God's love and grace in a world filled with darkness. I hear you witness. I whisper to the wind, my voice resolute. I won't turn away from this call. Responsibility settles on my shoulders, but I stand taller, strengthened by the conviction that this is my purpose, to be an instrument of God's mercy, a beacon of hope in a sea of despair. With each step forward, I feel a sense of peace wash over me, knowing that I am walking in alignment with God's will. The witness's words resonate in my mind, reminding me of the urgency. Sun sets on the horizon, painting the sky in hues of gold and pink. I lift my eyes towards heaven, offering a silent prayer for guidance and courage. The dreams and visions that the witness speaks of are not to be taken lightly. They are a warning, a call to action for all who dwell on this earth. I steel myself for the challenges that lie ahead, knowing that God's plan for salvation is the key to unlocking true freedom and joy. In this moment, as the world twilight, I am filled with a sense of purpose unlike anything I've ever experienced before. The path ahead may be fraught with obstacles and trials, but I am ready with faith as my shield and obedience as my sword.
Despite the rejection he faced, Jesus continued to show unwavering love and compassion towards all, even those who rejected him. His ultimate sacrifice on the cross was a testament to the depth of his love for the world despite the sorrow he endured in the face of rejection. I witness the agony etched on his face as he carries the weight of our sins each step towards Calvary, heavy with the burden of humanity's transgressions. Yet in his eyes there's a love that transcends all pain, a love so pure and selfless that it pierces through the darkness that threatens to engulf us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus' voice echoes through the crowd, his words a balm to my soul, even amidst the chaos and cruelty surrounding us. The nails pierce his flesh, and as he hangs on the cross, I see his sorrow etched in every line of his body. But it is a sorrow born out of a love so profound that it defies understanding. He willingly endures this suffering for us, for me, for all who would accept his gift of salvation. As he breathes his last, a hush falls over the land, a stillness that speaks volumes of the sacrifice made on our behalf. The heavens themselves seem to weep at the loss of their beloved son, and I can almost hear their mournful cry echoing through eternity. The words of the Heavenly Father ring in my ears, a declaration of worthiness for the Lamb who was slain for mankind. In that moment, I am overcome with gratitude and awe at the magnitude of Jesus' sacrifice. His love knows no bounds, reaching even those who rejected him with open arms of forgiveness and redemption. And in that moment, as I stand at the foot of the cross, I am reminded once again of the power of love to conquer all darkness and bring forth new life in its way. Against my soul, it is a voice so gentle yet commanding, resonating with power and authority. Jesus, the voice speaks, reverberating through the very fabric of existence. You are called by the Heavenly Father to intervene in the world's affairs. A surge of hope rises within me as I realize the significance of this moment. Jesus, the Savior and Deliverer, is being called upon to bring forth a divine intervention in the midst of chaos and darkness. His very presence carries a weight of authority that commands attention and reverence. The world's affairs hang in the balance, and I know that only Jesus has the power to bring about true transformation and redemption. In his hands lies the key to unlocking the chains of oppression and setting the captives free. As I watch Jesus accept this divine calling with unwavering resolve, I am filled with a sense of peace and anticipation. I know that whatever lies ahead, he will walk in step with the will of the Heavenly Father, bringing about a restoration that surpasses all understanding. And so I stand in awe of Jesus, my heart filled with gratitude for his willingness to answer.
as I stand in the shadow of the cross. The weight of Jesus' sacrifice hangs heavy in the air. The words echo in my mind, no greater love is anyone than to lay down his life for others. I'm humbled by the depth of Jesus' love, a love that knows no bounds and offers redemption to all who seek it. Jesus called to partake in his tribulation rings in my ears, a sense of purpose within me. He bore the weight of the world's sins on his shoulders, enduring unimaginable pain and suffering out of love for us. How can I not be willing to share in his I gaze upon the face of Jesus, marred by anguish yet shining with divine grace. I feel a stirring in my soul. His eyes meet mine, filled with the compassion that pierces through my doubts and fears, calling me to a higher. The crowd murmurs around me, some mocking and jeering at Jesus. While others weep in sorrow at the sight before them, but in this moment all noise fades away as I focus on of peace and purpose. That surpasses all understanding in his presence. I find strength to endure whatever tribulations may come my way, knowing that he walks beside me every step of the journey. And so I stand before Jesus, ready to heed his call and embrace his mission with courage and conviction. The path ahead may be fraught with
Whispers of change and innovation ripple through the streets as people speak in hushed tones. About the Antichrist, its promises of a new era of peace and prosperity. Despite my initial fears and concerns about his true intentions, I cannot deny the sense of hope that hangs in the air. The people of Iraq have embraced the Antichrist.
Against the backdrop of towering skyscrapers, I cannot help but wonder at the power of this enigmatic figure. The Antichrist's promises of 1,000 years of peace seem almost too good to be true. Yet here in Iraq, they are becoming a reality. The sun sets over God. The Antichrist calls all religions to join him in creating a peaceful land. I watch as the Antichrist's army moves through the streets of Baghdad, collecting weapons from the people. The once bustling marketplace are now soldiers, their expressions calm and resolute as they go about their task. The air crackles with tension, a sense of uncertainty hanging over the city like a heavy fog.
Amidst the chaos, a strange sense of peace settles over me. The Antichrist's forces are not confiscating weapons to instill fear or control, but rather to create a unified force dedicated to securing freedom to worship God. It's a radical shift from the oppressive regime that once ruled this land, and I can't help but feel a glimmer of hope stirring within me.
Watching awe as the scene unfolds before me, the air heavy with anticipation and reverence. In the midst of the grandeur and glory, my eyes are drawn to the figure at the center of it all. There, standing tall and majestic, is the Lamb. His presence radiates a sense of peace and power, a juxtaposition of strength and sacrifice. The wounds on His body speak of a past pain, but His eyes shine with a light that pierces through the darkness. As the Lamb approaches the throne, a hush falls over the heavenly court. The angels bow
steady hand. The Lamb reaches out and takes the scroll from the right hand of him who sits on the throne. The weight of his action hangs heavy in the air, a moment pregnant with significance and purpose. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fall prostrate before him. Their voices raised in praise and adoration. The sound of their worship fills the space, reverberating through the celestial realm. In this moment I see not just a lamb, but a king. A king who reigns with compassion and authority, who holds the key to unlocking the mystery of the universe. As I witness this divine exchange, a sense of peace washes over me in the presence of Jesus. All fear and doubt melt away, replaced by a deep knowing that he is indeed worthy to open the scroll and reveal its secrets. And so I stand in silent awe, my heart overflowing with gratitude for this glimpse into the unfolding plan of redemption. In Jesus, I see hope restored and salvation fulfilled. Jesus is called by all in heaven to make war on the darkness in the world. Jesus is revealed as the deliverer for the people in slavery to evil. I feel a surge of power coursing through me as the call to make war on darkness echoes through the heavenly realms. All eyes turn to Jesus. Their faith and hope palpable in the air. Jesus is the chosen one, the one who will lead the charge against the forces of evil that threaten his beloved creation. With resolve in my heart, I step forward, my eyes blazing with righteous fury. The weight of responsibility sits heavy on my shoulders, but I carry it willingly. For Jesus is the deliverer, the one who will set his people free from the chains of darkness. As Jesus sits on the heavenly throne, a sense of purpose fills all of heaven. Jesus is not just a savior. He is a warrior, a fighter for justice and truth. The armies of heaven rally behind Jesus, their swords drawn and their shields raised high. I look out at the world below, a world shrouded in shadows and despair. The cries of the oppressed reach my ears, stirring something deep within me. I will not stand idly by while my children suffer at the hands of evil. With a mighty roar, Jesus leads the charge, his voice like thunder rolling across the heavens. The darkness quakes before me, trembling at the mere mention of his name. Jesus is the light of the world, the beacon of hope in a sea of despair. The forces of evil stand no chance against Jesus, for he is the deliverer, the one who breaks every chain and sets the captives free. In his presence, fear and doubt flee, replaced by a renewed sense of faith and courage. As Jesus Jesus wages war on darkness. He does so not with hatred in his heart, but with love, love for my people, love for my creation. With each blow struck against evil, Jesus paves the way for a brighter future, a future free from oppression and suffering.
My heart aches with the weight of the world's imperfections, the pain, the suffering. It's overwhelming. Jesus sees the darkness that has taken hold, and it angers him. The nations have turned away from truth, embracing wickedness instead. Their armies march not for justice, but for greed and power. As Jesus sits on a throne in heaven, overlooking the vast expanse before him, a deep sense of sorrow washes over Jesus. The cries of the oppressed, the wails of the innocent, it pierces through Jesus like a sword. How long must this continue? How long must the cries of the oppressed, the wails of the innocent, it pierces through Jesus like a sword? How long must how long must I witness the destruction caused by man's selfish desires? But then a fire ignites within Christ, a righteous anger unlike any other. His eyes blaze with intensity as he declares, "I am angry with all nations. My wrath is on all their armies. The time for reckoning has come. They have chosen their path, and now they shall face the consequences of their actions." Jesus raises his hand, and the sky darkens ominously. Thunder rumbles in the distance, a warning of the storm to come. The ground beneath me trembles, as if in anticipation of what is about to unfold. The very air crackles with energy, charged with divine power. They will be totally destroyed. Christ proclaims with a voice that echoes across the heavens, they will be given over to slaughter. The words hang heavy in the air, a somber reminder of the fate that awaits those who have turned their backs on truth and light. But even in God's anger, there is still a glimmer of hope, a chance for redemption for those who turn from their wicked ways. God extends his hand towards them, a beacon of light in the encroaching darkness. Turn back, Jesus urges them, his voice softening with compassion. Turn back from your ways of destruction and embrace the path of righteousness. The choice is theirs to make, will they heed?
heed God's warning and find salvation? Or will they continue down the path of destruction? Only time will tell. The witness sees China and Russia align their nuclear weapons against America and their partners. America points its weapons to destroy all their enemies. The nations have not embraced Jesus, but are embracing a policy of destruction. MAD, mutually assured destruction.
The voice of Jesus is not heard and war breaks out. 2 billion die because of war. I stand on the precipice of devastation, my heart heavy with sorrow. The witness sees China and Russia, once distant giants, now aligning their nuclear weapons against America and its allies. The tension is palpable. A storm brewing on the horizon. America responds in kind, pointing its arsenal towards its enemies, the very same who were once its allies. The world teeters on the edge of annihilation. A dance of death orchestrated by pride and power. They have forsaken the teachings of Jesus, choosing destruction over redemption. MAD, mutually assured destruction. A concept that was once a mere theory now threatens to become a grim reality. The voice of Jesus, the call to peace and love, falls on deaf ears as the drums of war grow louder. And then it happens. War erupts like a volcano, spewing forth death and destruction in its wake. The nations unleash their fury upon each other, blinded by hatred and fueled by fear. The skies burn with the fires of conflict, and the earth trembles beneath the weight of violence. 2 billion souls are lost in the chaos, their lives snuffed out in an instant. The cries of anguish fill the air, a haunting symphony of loss and despair. The world is plunged into darkness, the light of hope flickering ever fainter. I watch in silence, my heart breaking for those who have been consumed by the flames of war.
Consequences of their actions are laid bare before them. A grim reminder of the price of their defiance. And yet, even in the midst of tragedy, there is a glimmer of hope, a chance for redemption amidst the ruins. But will they seize it? Or will they continue down the path of destruction? Only time will tell. Souls lost to darkness. As the world spirals into chaos, my heart weeps for those who have strayed from the path of light.
The destruction and despair weigh heavily on me, but make it. A chance to leave behind the darkness and embrace the purity of salvation. I watch as souls from all corners of the earth lift their voices in prayer. Their cries reaching up to heaven like a chorus of hope. They call out to Jesus, seeking solace and deliverance from the darkness that threatens to consume them. And in their plea, I see a flicker of faith, a seed of hope planted in the barren soil of despair. As they draw near, I see their garments transform, shrouding them in robes as white as snow, a symbol of their newfound purity and grace. Each soul that comes to Jesus is a testament to the power of redemption, a beacon of light in a world shrouded in darkness. Jesus says, "They are my chosen ones, my beloved children whom I have called to myself." And as they stand before me bathed in heavenly radiance, I know that they are finally home, safe in the arms of their deliverer. Upon the splendor that awaits us, I know that this is only the beginning, a prelude to an eternity of bliss in the presence of our Creator.
Darkness, their hearts hardened against the light. Despite my warnings and calls for repentance, they remain stubborn in their ways. Choosing destruction over salvation. As the earth hurtles towards its inevitable demise, a planet with a comet tail veers into its gravitational pull. Continents torn asunder by the force of nature unleashed.
Debris rains down from the earth with deadly precision.
From Africa to Europe, from the Atlantic Ocean to North America, no corner of the world is spared from the wrath of destruction. Over 5 billion souls perish in an instant, their lives snuffed out by the merciless hand of fate. The cries of anguish fill the air, a symphony of despair that echoes across the shattered remains of a once beautiful world. The survivors of few and far between, left to wander their former lives. The earth is scarred and broken, a testament to the folly of those who refuse to heed my warnings. And as I look upon the devastation spread out before me,
will they finally turn from darkness and embrace the light? Or will they continue down the path of destruction, heedless of the consequences of their actions? Only time will tell. The great multitude in white robes. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language,
standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation."
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst.
will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd.
Darkest of times. I watch as he opens the sixth seal. A great earthquake shaking the very foundations of the earth. The sun darkens, the moon turning a deep crimson hue, and the stars falling from the sky like a rain of fire. The heavens themselves seem to roll up like a scroll. Every mountain and island displaced in a cosmic upheaval. The kings of the earth, along with the princes, generals, and all those who once wielded power.
Drama where every soul will be held to a first angel sounds his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood rain down upon the earth. A third of the land is scorched, the trees ablaze, and all the green grass withers in the intense heat. The destructive power of the trumpet's blast is felt far and wide, leaving a trail of devastation in its wake. As I behold the chaos unleashed upon the earth, I hear the word of God speaking to me. His voice resonates with authority as he commands me to set my face against Russia and Eastern Europe. The Lord's words are a call to prophecy against Russia and his army, a mighty force gathering in preparation for war. Get ready, be prepared, the Lord declares, you and your hordes will invade a land that has known peace. Seeking to plunder and loot its riches, but know this, Russia, your evil scheme will not go unpunished. My people Israel will live in safety, and I will bring judgment upon you and your allies. The Lord's voice thunders with righteous anger as he foretells of a great earthquake that will shake the land of Israel. His wrath will be unleashed upon Russia and his troops, plague and bloodshed raining down upon them. The mountains will crumble, walls will fall, and every living creature will tremble at his presence. In the face of such divine judgment, Russia's armies will turn on each other in a frenzy of violence. Swords clash brother against brother as the Lord executes his righteous judgment upon the invaders. Torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur rain down from the heavens, a display of his greatness and holiness before all nations. The scene is set for a showdown of epic proportions, a battle between the forces of darkness and the unyielding might of the Lord. As I prepare to deliver his message to Russia and his allies, I can feel the weight of destiny pressing down upon me. The time for reckoning is at hand, and none shall escape the wrath of the sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 39. And those who live in the towns of Israel will go out and use the weapons for fuel and burn them up. The small and large shields, the bows and arrows, the war clubs and spears, for 7 years they will use them for fuel. They will not need to gather wood from the fields or cut it from the forest, because they will use the weapons for fuel. And they will plunder those who plundered them and loot those who looted them, declares the sovereign Lord. On that day I will give Gog a burial place in Israel, in the valley of those who travel east of the sea. It will block the way of travelers, because Gog and all his hordes will be buried there. So it will be called the Valley of Hamangog,
7 months, the Israelites will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. All the people of the land will bury them, and the day I display my glory will be a memorable day for them, declares the sovereign Lord. People will be continually employed in cleansing the land. They will spread out across the land, and along with others they will bury any bodies that are lying on the ground. After the 7 months, they will carry out a more detailed search as they go through the land. Anyone who sees a human bone will leave a marker beside it until the grave diggers bury it in the valley of Hamon Gog, near a town called Hamoner. So they will cleanse the land.
Second angel sounds his trumpet, and a massive mountain engulfed in flames crashes into the Atlantic Ocean. The impact creates a cataclysmic wave that surges across the sea, turning a third of its waters into a deep crimson hue. The once teeming marine life now floats lifeless on the bloodied surface, and ships are tossed about like mere toys in a violent storm. I stand witness to the devastation unleashed by the trumpet's call, feeling the weight of sorrow for the loss of life and destruction of the sea. The Lord's voice resonates within me, urging me to speak out against the darkness that has enveloped the world. His words are a beacon of hope in the midst of chaos, a reminder of his unwavering love for all creation.
Upon the desolation before me, I feel a surge of determination rise within my spirit. The call to stand against the forces of evil grows stronger with each passing moment, and I know
Reminder.
my voice in prayer and supplication, calling upon the heavens for guidance and protection. With each word spoken, I feel a sense of peace wash over me, calming the storm raging within my soul. In this moment of chaos and destruction, I cling to the hope that lies in the promise of redemption and renewal. The second trial!
Sounds his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch falls from the sky. Its name is Wormwood. It crashes onto a third of the rivers and springs, poisoning the water. We'll be right back.
clouded in uncertainty, but let us walk together with unwavering faith in the Lord's guidance. The air crackles with tension, each moment pregnant with significance. I brace myself for what is to come, knowing that the more trumpets are yet to sound.
In this moment of turmoil and upheaval, I find solace in the knowledge that I am not alone in this divine plan.
Signaling a new wave of devastation. I watch as a fallen star descends from the heavens, carrying with it the key to the abyss. With a heavy heart, a chasm of darkness and despair that belches forth a thick plume of depths of this infernal pit emerge locusts, their forms twisted and grotesque. They descend upon the land with a malevolent purpose. The stingers poised to inflict torment upon those who dwell.
Some with faces like that of humans, but bodies that
their wrath upon the earth. I feel a sense of dread grip my heart. The people are in anguish, their cries filling the air as they endure the unrelenting torment inflicted by these demonic creatures. The agony they suffer is beyond comprehension, driving them to the brink of madness as they seek escape from their suffering. I see no end to their torment, no respite from the relentless assault of the locust. In their desperation, some may even long for death as a release from the suffering. But death will elude them, leaving them to endure their agony for what feels like an eternity. Jesus, have mercy on us in our hour of need.
Trumpet reverberates through the air, sending shivers down my spine. I hear a voice echoing from the golden altar before God, commanding the release of four-bound angels at the great river. Kept ready for this precise moment, are set free to unleash devastation upon a third of mankind.
eternal creatures is inescapable as they unleash their wrath upon the earth. A third of humanity falls victim to the plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur. Devastation wrought upon them. The rest of mankind remains unrepentant. In their ways, they continue to worship demons and idols of gold and silver, turning a blind eye to the darkness that surrounds.
As the chaos and destruction continue to unfold before my eyes, I witness another incredible sight. A mighty angel descends from heaven, cloaked in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His presence is awe-inspiring, his face shining like the sun, and his legs resembling fiery pillars. In his hand he holds a little scroll, open for all to see, with one foot planted on the sea and the other on the land. The angel lets out a deafening roar that echoes like thunder as he shouts. The voices of seven thunders speak, their message reverberating through the air. I reach for my pen to record their words, but a voice from heaven commands me to seal up the secrets of the thunders and keep them hidden. The angel raises his right hand to heaven and swears by the creator of all things, declaring that there will be no more delay in the unfolding of God's plan. The days are drawing near when the seventh angel will sound his trumpet, bringing about the fulfillment of God's mysteries as foretold by the prophets.
Teaching me to approach the angel, standing on both sea and land. I ask him for the little scroll. He holds and he bids me to take it and eat it. He warns me that it will taste sweet as honey in my mouth, but turn sour in my stomach. Without hesitation, I consume the scroll, experiencing the bittersweet truth it contains as the words settle within me. I know that my task is not yet complete. I am told that I must prophesy once more to many peoples, nations, languages, and kings.
The weight of this calling rests heavy on my shoulders as I prepare to speak the words that have been revealed to me. The future is uncertain, but I trust in the guidance of the Almighty as I step into my role as a messenger of His will. Jesus takes the people of earth who called upon His name and declares them to be His bride in paradise. I stand in awe as Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes the hands of those who have called upon His name in the midst of chaos and despair. His eyes, filled with love and compassion, gaze upon each one of us with a depth of understanding that goes beyond words. With a voice like rolling thunder, He declares us to be His chosen ones, His beloved bride in the paradise that awaits.
Shared faith and devotion to the Savior who has delivered us from darkness. We are bound together not just by earthly ties, but by a spiritual bond that transcends all barriers. In the sacred moment, time seems to stand still as we bask in the glory of His presence.
Changed, forever marked as His own. And as we prepare to enter into the eternal paradise that He has prepared for us,
We do so with hearts full of hope and faith, knowing that we are forever His beloved bride. Revelation 1:10 is the day of the Lord.